This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM's Merdeka Special is presented by Masing.
Hello, I'm Hanif Baharuddin and you're tuned in to a special I Love KL episode to commemorate Merdeka.
Pada 20 hari bulan Februari tahun 1956, Kota Melaka, pintu penjajahan bangsa-bangsa asing terhadap bangsa Melayu telah penuh sesak dengan manusia menunggu pulangnya rombongan merdeka dari London.
I was just a curious guy with some friends moving around the town lah. And then they told me, go over to Bandar Hilir for today. Tengku Abdul Rahman will be there to declare independence. See? So we were very curious. We just walked down to Bandar Hilir and we saw a big crowd. And it was just a simple proclamation by Tengku. And after that, we just walked off because there was no other activities. You see? But it was a very significant day for all of us, isn't it?
That's the voice of Mr. Chin Yi Kyun, a man who witnessed Tunku Abdul Rahman announcing the date of our independence at the Padang Bandar Hilir, Melaka, after he returned from that successful meeting and negotiation in London. The event that happened on the 20th of February 1956 is less discussed, but it's equally momentous as it kick-started the nation's preparation to celebrate Merdeka the following year. So today we're going to be hearing stories behind the announcement and also explore a small monument or obelisk that has been erected to commemorate the spot where Tunku made the announcement. Joining me to share what she knows regarding the event is Elizabeth Cardosa from Badan Warisan Malaysia.
So we're looking at 1956, we're not looking at 1957. In 1956, in January, Tunku went with a delegation, made up of various people, including a representative from the Sultans, somebody from the Alliance Party. He had both partners from the Alliance Party, Sir Tun H.S. Lee, and I think it was Tun Samaddin, I think, was with him, so it was an MIC leader, the MCA leader, obviously the Malay leaders, and himself, representing the government of the Federation before we became Malaya. But in this negotiation for independence, to be completely independent of the British administration, we're new, not even a country. There wasn't money to go around. And so it was kind of like they had to find funds. And so funds were raised from various people, including UMNO Malacca. And actually Malacca, a lot of the money that they needed to bring this delegation was not taken from government coffers, but was crowdfunded, I suppose you could call it that.
I read somewhere that Malacca was the state that raised the most funds for Tunku to go to London with his entourage. And there is actually a very famous painting of people throwing bits of jewelry, their watches, their bangles and all that, so that these could be sold and then the money could be used for Tunku and his entourage.
That's Audrey Lim. She's from Malacca. She was still pretty young when Tunku came to Malacca, but she knows some stories from the events that transpired. Her stories sort of match what Elizabeth mentioned earlier about people sacrificing their own assets to crowdfund Tunku's trip to the UK.
Yeah, and so they go off, to have this meeting in London, and on his way back, they fly via various places and they stop in Singapore. And from Singapore, they fly into Malacca, into, the airport there that closed down later and then got reopened recently, right? And they fly into Malacca because I think that sort of Tunku wanted to acknowledge, this is what I read and what the newspapers said. He wants to acknowledge the fact that, Malacca, a lot of the support that they had came from Malacca because that was where a lot of the funding came from. Gaffan Baba was at that time not yet, Chief Minister of Malacca, but he was head of UMNO Malacca at that time. And he was very much part of this whole, set of movements. And when you look at the photos, you will see these people who are really young, you know, compared to what we see them as elderly statesmen later, right? And really the fervor, I think, and the interest and the really wanting, you know, this real desire to be independent, you know, was very apparent, very obvious. And so he comes to Malacca. He lands in Malacca earlier than he's supposed to, because all of this is supposed to take place in the afternoon. And then later, so it upset a few people because, you know, the program had already been set and whatnot and whatnot. But later, retrospectively, people say it was a good thing it happened early because it rained in the afternoon. And that would have washed out any announcements or, you know, it would certainly have dampened the celebrations. But there are stories of him as he lands. He's picked up and he goes in a car. And we, I think as Malaysians, we will remember these photos that every year we will look at because, you know, in terms of part of the national independent story, we see these photographs. So Tunku comes in standing in this open car, open hood car, apparently it was red. And he comes into town, into the city, into Bandar Hilir, to where the Padang was.
Speaking of the car, here's Audrey again with some interesting facts.
The car that Tunku came in was a Nash Rambler. And the number, if you're into four digits, 4D, it was M4422. Yeah, yeah. So Mr. Chin and I about this convoy, because my friend, his father told him that there was a convoy of cars, but maybe the first car that came that picked Tunku up from the aerodrome at Batu Berendam was just that historic car, just one car, and maybe the cars came later, but there was a convoy of motorbikes. Yeah.
Now, the Padang Bandar Hilir, the field where everything happened, also has its own interesting facts.
Now, this Padang has a bit of a story as well. It was not there until the 1910s. It was a reclamation. But in people, I think if you talk to anybody in Malacca now, it would be already part of their memory. There would never have been a time when the Padang wasn't there, because I mean, obviously it's been there for over 100 years, right? And so he comes to make this declaration there. You read that he says, you know, he basically wanted to acknowledge the support that came from Malacca. So he chooses to go to Malacca to do this. And that's where he makes the announcement. And so the point of all of this is really it was the whole question of where do you select to make an announcement that your negotiations that these people have donated towards so that you can take a delegation there have, you know, it's come from the citizens, not yet of Malaya, if you know what I mean, but, you know, you know, everybody from all the communities, you want to go to a place which has a particular meaning to the Malay and the Malayan sensibility. So you select a place which really relates back to the Malacca Sultanate, the heyday, what is seen as, you know, what is talked about as, you know, the glory days, you know, the long 15th century, as some people might say, you know, where the Malacca sultans, you know, reigned supreme for 100 years, you know, or more than 100 years, you know, before the bad white guys came and, you know, took the cannons and shot us and, you know, whatnot and whatnot. You know, that's a different story. But that, you know, so you recall that you choose a place which has that memory, that significance, that story where where we as a people, Malaya, you know, were in an ascendance. We were a very important part of the world.
Yeah, it was to a certain extent driven by sentimentality, right? Because if you think about it, I mean, they can easily just choose KL as a place. I mean,
yeah, KL was, you know, the capital. So they could have chosen Penang, they could have chosen Johor, you know what I mean? You could have done it. He's from Kedah. I mean, you know, he could have gone to Kedah. So why do you select a place? And I think he makes one of the comments, I think he previously on that the place where there is now a monument, which we'll talk about in a minute, on this spot, so to speak. A sign used to say, I don't know whether it's still there, it used to say, "Di atas runtuhan Kota Melaka, kita didirikan negara baru." So basically, here we are on the broken foundations, yeah, of this Kota, which was a very important part of in terms of historically, a very important part of trade, a very important center, you know, for many, many centuries, not just under the Malacca Sultanate, obviously, but even, you know, further down the road than that, as a trade center, as an entrepôt, as a place where you have, you know, different communities, different groups of people coming and mixing there. And so you get this whole notion of Malaya, the multiculturalism, the sense of a long history, you know, in this one place. So this is where he chose to make this declaration and to proclaim and to announce to a crowd. It's interesting because, you know, you read one newspaper and on one page it says 25,000 people and on the next page it says 50,000 people, so, you know, somewhere. And then later, you know, in the following day's newspaper, you read 100,000 people. So, you know, anywhere, large crowd. I mean, clearly from the photographs, we know it was a huge crowd, you know. Busloads came in for this occasion.
That was Elizabeth Cardosa from Badang Raya Malaysia, and she's joined by snippets of voices from Audrey Lim and Chin Yi Kyun. They are people from Malacca who have intimate knowledge of the day Tunku Abdul Rahman made the announcement of the date of Malaya's independence. We're going for a short break. Coming up, we're going to be talking about the Merdeka Obelisk or the Merdeka Monument. I'm Hanif Baharuddin, and you're listening to I Love KL Merdeka Special on BFM 89.9.
Stay tuned to this BFM Merdeka Special presented by Masing. This BFM Merdeka special is presented by Masing.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to I Love KL Merdeka Special. I'm Hanif Baharuddin, and in this episode, we've been chatting the events that happened when Tunku Abdul Rahman returned to Malaya and announced the country's date of independence. He chose Malacca as the place to do this, leaving a lasting imprint on a state that is symbolically seen as a place where everything started for the country. To mark that occasion, a Merdeka Obelisk, or some say a monument, was built at almost the exact spot Tun stood to make his announcement. Here's Elizabeth Cardosa from Badang Raya Malaysia with the story.
To mark that occasion, the proclamation of the announcement that, you know, we would receive, the British had agreed, you know, and the negotiations had been successful, and to lots of uproarious Merdeka, Merdeka, Merdeka chants, you know, from the crowd, there was a monument that was built. Now, the interesting thing about this monument is nobody kind of remembers it. It's really weird. But it really is a very simple stone, monument. It's a triangular pyramid type pattern, monument, not very high. Some people refer to it as the Merdeka Obelisk. Some people refer to it as the Merdeka Monument. A lot of people from Malacca don't even know it, you know. But you have this little triangular structure which sits on a plinth. It's 1957. It's green mosaic tiles. And in the middle of that, on the three faces of the pyramid, are an 11 in yellow, an 11-point star with the letter M in red in the middle. And the 11-point star refers to the 11 states. And on the base of the plinth of this monument, you have the names of the states written in. And you have at the three corners of the pyramid, you have an outline of the peninsula map, the map or the outline of the map of the peninsula. And it says, you know, 31st August 1957. And so it's a commemorative monument. Throughout the country, there were lots of commemorative monuments that were established. For Merdeka, you will see clock towers that refer back to it. You will see monuments of this kind. You will see archways, you know, because throughout the country, smaller towns, bigger towns, capital cities will have these memories with these little, some bigger, some smaller, structures that were built in commemoration of 1957 in the peninsula, obviously.
Mm. And the obelisk or the Merdeka Monument was it the exact place where Tunku did his proclamation?
I don't know that there was GPS those days. So I think it is an indication of where it was supposed to have happened. it was facing, the field was to one side. It was facing where its current location is. It is at the back end of the Dataran Pahlawan, which is a mall that was built on this padang. You know, that's a commercial thing. It was built in, you know, from starting from about 2002, 2003, thereabouts. And it faces to one side, it faces the what is now the Malacca Proclamation, the Memorial Independence Museum. It's a museum. It used to be a club. We can talk about that. And then on the that's to your right. And to your left, if you're standing where the monument is, to your left will be St. Paul's Hill and the Puerto de Santiago, the land gate there, which you see. And it was in this place that this it was in. More or less, I'm assuming more or less the spot. Nobody actually, interestingly about the place, we were when we were looking, sort of looking at it, we've been looking at it for a few years. We've been trying to find out, establish when exactly the monument was built. And we've looked in Singapore archives, we haven't found. We've looked in Malayan archives, we haven't found. We've looked in newspaper archives, we haven't found. We've looked at, you know, it's very, I'm sure one of these days we will find the information. But we've talked to people who grew up in Malacca and they go, yeah, it's always been there. But nobody actually knows when it was built. But knowing, looking again at images and imagery, the 1957, you know, the use of the 3/4-inch mosaic, the color, the star, so to speak, the 11-pointed star. That was the emblem that was used at the Merdeka Stadium. And you see it throughout, you know, a KL, for example, on flags and bunting. And that was the emblem of the day, so to speak, right? And obviously, they have chosen to use the same one. So it must have been in and around 1957 when they built it. Now, whether they built it before the 31st of August or they built it after the 31st of August, that's not clear. But on that same spot as well, apparently, the at the time, the British administration, there was a ceremony where the independence seal, you know, was handed over to the then governor of Malacca, Leong Yew Koh, by the British. I can't remember what exactly he was, but he was, you know, the British administrator there. You know, to say, look here, you've come of age, you know, it's a sort of part of your rite of passage, I suppose, in a sense, by handing you something that says, you know, this is an indication that, you know, here's the keys to your own city, for example, you know, now go free and prosper, so to speak, you know, that sort of thing. And on that same place where Tengku is, it is said that Tengku stood. Of course, in 1956, what did he stand on? He stood up. That was the sort of the part of the story that I liked, was there was no money, right? They wanted to put together this celebration. He decided to fly into Malacca. They had to put it together very quickly. And they had organized, like I said, something in the afternoon. But then he decided to bring it forward to the morning because they were flying in from Singapore and he didn't want to delay. So they built a makeshift platform. They had two lorries. Back to back, they dropped the sides of the lorry. So it became a stage because he had to be elevated. There was just no money to build a new stage. So it was a makeshift stage that he and, of course, you know, there was a whole bunch of speeches, lots and lots of people making lots and lots of proclamations before that. And then the crowd started getting impatient because they wanted to hear the result of the negotiations. And Tengku did not blast it out to the world. Like, you know, it wasn't like, now, everything is instant on your phone, right? You know, as soon as something happens, you know about it. You know, you knew about it even before it happened, so to speak. You know, and in this case, everybody was waiting to hear. And so the crowd got a bit rowdy and said, you know, was calling for Tengku to tell them. So he finally, you know, appears on stage, I mean, and makes this proclamation. And, you know, by the will of God, you know, we will have independence within the next 18 months.
Nama Allah yang maha murah lagi maha kesian ini, saya atas nama rakyat Melayu mengisytiharkan bahwa kemerdekaan penuh persatuan tanah Melayu di dalam Commonwealth menurut perjanjian yang telah dicapai di London akan dilaksanakan pada 31 hari pada bulan Ogos tahun 1957.
And so there was this uproarious, you know, cry for a celebration of Merdeka, you know, and that was sort of, so that's sort of part of that whole story. I think the sense of the place, I think sadly, is it's been eclipsed by people sort of not really recognizing or even seeing the monument. It's there. I think when, what was it? The Pokemon Go. What, there was a game, right? Yeah. Some Pokemon.
Pokemon Go.
Yeah. You know, that was one of the places that was, you know, that you had to register yourself at or whatever. I mean, I'm not quite sure how that game worked, but it was a thing, right? At one time when they first launched it. So that was part of the hunt. But, you know, I think that a lot of people who, like, participated in that didn't even know what was on. And that, you know, you read from newspaper reports as well, you know, on what it was.
There's a museum around the area called Proclamation of Independence Memorial, and people tend to mistake the museum for the place where Tunku actually made his announcement. As we have learned so far, that's not exactly true.
The Merdeka Memorial Building, a lot of people think that actually the proclamation was done there. But that's not true. I mean, that's not correct. That building used to be the Malacca Club, built in the early 1910s. It was, you know, beautiful, you know, two-story building, lots of verandas. And the club was obviously not for locals. It was for the British to enjoy themselves. And the club remained there. I mean, obviously after, you know, we were independent, it became more socialized, right? And so non-British, meaning Malaysians, could join the club and use it, etc. So there was a democratization of that process. But the club moved in the 1980s and the museum was set up in that place. Mm. So that, I suppose, holds now is the repository of the memory of that.
Yeah. Back to the Merdeka Monument. How can...
The obelisk, you mean?
Yes, Merdeka Obelisk, yeah. You know, how can we not know the exact date of when was this thing built, especially considering that it may just be a monument, but I think...
Good question. Yeah. How? I don't know. I mean, we, like I say, you know, we started looking at this area specifically and related to the monument because of the construction and the development of the Padang, yeah, in the early 2000s. Yeah. And that was one of the things we tried to find out, was when exactly was it built? And we have checked. And so far, we haven't come across it. Maybe an older person in Malacca might remember. I mean, I've asked people who are from Malacca if they know, and none of them remember because they say, oh, it's always been there. So, you know, I mean, I would like to know. When I find out, I'll tell you, okay? But it's one of the, yeah, why don't we know these things? I mean, why wasn't it reported? Maybe because it was already there when they did the handover on the 31st of August. I don't know. I can't say it was, because it just talks about, you know, in the monument, in the memorial building that you see in the museum, they will talk about the fact that it happened and it happened in that area. Okay. But they don't actually give you information about the dating of this structure, except I will say that just from, then this is pure speculation, looking at the logo, looking at, you know, at the emblem that's used, looking at the structure, definitely I would say that in 1957, you know, plus or minus 31st August, it would have been constructed.
What are your thoughts on how, you know, development took place somewhere within, like, so close to the vicinity of the monument itself, especially the fact that, yeah, there's literally a mall next to it.
Yes,
yeah?
Literally a mall next to it. Which ignores it, yeah? You know, you would think that when you are looking at something, the Washington Monument, for example, you know, you have this vista, you have this long pool, you have at the end of it, you have the Washington Monument, you know, where you celebrate and you focus on it. Tugu Negara, you know, you focus on it. There is a focal. This one is kind of like ignored, neglected, at the rear of this building. And when we saw the original plans for the retail space, we noticed immediately that it was sort of, it was in the vicinity of the toilets and the food court. And the food court, which was with the exhaust you know, fumes and whatever would have been going out toward that area. And so we meaning Badan Warisan Malaysia, with lots of other, you know, people who were, you know, passionate about the history of Malacca and about respecting these monuments. I mean, we raised sort of a bit of a, we discussed this with Perzim. Because, you know, we said you can't, you know, even if you are going to do that, you have to, even if you're going to build and allow the building, because you had already approved the plans, right? You, the municipal authority, had already approved the plans for this construction. We would have disagreed maybe with the construction or the close proximity of the construction to this. The fact of the matter is it's so ignored and so neglected. And then you kind of like turn your back on it. You know, for something like that, it's like, what's kind of happened, you know, and why has this memory of this place or the fact that this was a significant site, why have we ignored? Because the memorial museum is there. And so in the minds of a lot of people who, you know, in let's say in the last 20, 30 years, people will have, you make an assumption. It says memorial. Yeah, proclamation memorial, independence proclamation memorial. You think immediately, okay lah, it happened here, you know? And so that part of the history, that part of the story is completely ignored. And I think that part of it is really sad.
Yeah, I mean, even if you Google Merdeka Monument Melaka,
you get the memorial, right? Get the memorial. Yeah, yeah. You will maybe come across something related to this obelisk. In, I don't know, you know, in one out of 100, you know, references. And then it would be like, hey, what's that? Huh? You know, it's like a little pimple, you know. Mm. It's like, why? What?
Do you think it's because of the size, though? I mean, maybe it wasn't built like a Tugu Negara, right, where it's imposing.
Yeah, it wasn't built, it's not imposing. I mean, it really is quite a small structure. It's very modest. But, you know, I think that if you think about the photos back to 1957, okay, when we built the Stadium Merdeka, it cost 1.4 million. I mean, I know a lot about Stadium Merdeka, okay, for the building. It probably could have built about 5 or 6 hospitals and many, many schools, you know, but it was a football stadium, I mean, for goodness sake. But, you know, but Tunku wanted it because he saw sports, you know, as the way to continue to make sure that people, you know, worked together, were unified together, played together and could work, you know, cheek by jowl, no matter your differences, this would be, this playing field would level it, yeah? And it was a very, but the building itself, the structure was very, very modest. You look at the seating at the stadium at that time, it was very modest. You look at the ceremony, it was actually very modest. One dais, you know, pokok-pokok, you know, I mean, like, you know, plants, that, a few umbrellas, right, and because of the royals. But really, at the end of the day, it was really not the lavish, you know, over-the-top stuff that we see today and that we expect today, so maybe, yeah, I mean, in 1950, how much money was there? I have absolutely no idea, but I can't imagine that it would have been because, you know, you may not have had the budget. You know, or the capacity to build anything larger. But there is no signage that explains it. There's no interpretation. And we looked at, I must tell you that before today, you know, I went around looking at tourist maps, you know, and we looked at about 5 or 6, including what's on the websites, things like that. We looked at maybe a dozen. And you cannot find this even marked on a map. You know, you will find the Puerto de Santiago. You will find the Old Malacca Club, which is now the memorial, the Proclamation Independence Memorial. You will find the Stadhuis. You will find, you know, all these other structures around. You will not find this little monument there. You will find the schools marked, but you will not find this monument marked. So it has gone to an extent that actually we have completely forgotten it, which is amazing, because you see photographs, you repeatedly every year at this time, you will see photographs of that parade and that procession of Tunku in that car entering Malacca in 1956 on the 20th of February. No,
20th of February, 1956.
Yes. 1956. He's entering and he makes that announcement. And then that's it, right? So there is a commemorative element here, which we kind of like, so we, you know, we don't associate, we have this gamba, you know, we have this picture, we have this physical photograph, you know, with the crowds and all of that. We don't associate it with this little stone, you know, with this little built monument. No interpretation, nothing that says, no map that indicates that it's there. And I don't know. I mean, it's sad. You, BFM, do something about it.
You've been tuning in to I Love KL Merdeka Special, and we've been reminiscing about the day Tunku Abdul Rahman made his Merdeka announcement in 1956 at the Padang Bandar Hilir, Melaka. We also look at the Merdeka Obelisk, a small monument that was built to commemorate the event. Elizabeth Cardosa from Badang Warsa, Malaysia, joined me to share her stories and knowledge. And that's all we have for this special episode of I Love KL. If you miss any part of the show, you can check out the podcast at bfm.my/ilovekl or download our app via Google Play or the App Store. We're also available on Spotify, so do check us out on that platform, and don't forget to also follow the station on Twitter at BFM Radio. My name is Hanif Baharuddin, and you have been tuning in to I Love KL, bringing you closer to the people and places of our capital city and beyond. Join us again next week, only on BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM's Merdeka Special is presented by Masing. Reinvent spaces, enhance life.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.